Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. In this episode, we consider the question, should a Christian bet on sports? If you're a sports fan, or even if you're not, sports betting seems to be everywhere nowadays, doesn't it? So, how should a Christian think about betting on sports? What does the Bible have to say about it? We thought it'd be helpful to have a conversation about this as Christ followers in our time and place, and as Christians who are sports fans. So, is betting on sports wise? Is it sinful? Join us as we consider together, should a Christian bet on sports? Gresham Bible Church, for this week's podcast, we are going to consider together the question, should a Christian bet on sports? This episode is not sponsored by FanDuel, as funny as that would be. Let me share why we're going to have this conversation, and then we'll kind of dive into it. So should a Christian bet on sports? I'll just share where I'm coming from, then you guys feel free to share. Seems like it's everywhere. The three of us are sports fans, unashamedly so. Whatever game you watch, listen to, check ESPN.com, you're going to be bombarded with ads about gambling, betting on sports. I came across some statistics real quick that just struck a chord with me. So last year's Super Bowl, we're recording this episode before the 2025 Super Bowl, but before last year's Super Bowl, it was estimated that 68 million Americans were expected to wager on the Super Bowl in upwards of $23 billion.
Jeez.
$23 billion with a B. And then in 2023, there was $120 billion bet on sports in America, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And in this last NFL season that this year's Super Bowl is going to be the capstone of, it was estimated that there was going to be bet $35 billion just on NFL games alone.
Wow.
So a lot of money, a lot of eyeballs, a lot of attention. And if that's true, it's reasonable to assume there are members of Gresham Bible Church who either have bet on sports, want to bet on sports, or just trying to think about, wow, this is in front of me all the time. How as a Christian should I think about betting on sports? So all that to say, thought it'd be worth us talking about on a podcast. So when you hear me ask the question, should a Christian bet on sports? Let's just kind of throw some things on the table and then we'll lean into the conversation together. What comes to mind? Is this a question worth asking? Is it a question you've had asked of you? Just general thoughts.
I think it's worth asking if it's that prevalent in our culture, even if it's not like 50% of people at GBC are betting on sports. Maybe they are. I have no idea. But yeah, if it's every podcast I listen to about sports, it's always promo codes to get your first 10 bets free or whatever like that. And even they, because it's legalized now, basically everywhere in America, they're even talking about it on the broadcasts and stuff like that the line of the game of like how many points are going to be scored or how much the other team's going to win by. So like it's being talked about and is infiltrating us whether we realize it or not. And if we're people that are trying to be of the world but not in the world, then this starts to become, you know, a wisdom category of, okay, so then how do we deal with something that is such a big deal in our culture? So yeah, it's worth the conversation.
Okay, that's good.
Todd, I should have asked you this ahead of time, so feel free to, we can edit this out or not. And some of your like ethics classes at the seminary, do people bring this up, like from a pastoral counseling perspective or their own challenges?
Not sports gambling per se,
okay,
but gambling in general is an issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because it touches all areas of Christian, well, that was overstated. It touches many areas of life. It could be a significant financial, it could be a significant financial aspect. It has to do with prudence, wisdom, self-discipline, loyalties, relationships with family members.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are putting people at risk.
And just before we advance the conversation, I want to make sure that GBC hears from us. We are not trying to bind people's consciences where scripture doesn't bind it. Mm-hmm. And I know this is temptation in my heart. Sometimes the pendulum swings so far, then it's like, we'll just live and let live. But we want to think Christianly about all of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so if in our context, sports betting is legal and people are doing it, we should press ourselves to think Christianly about should a Christian bet on sports? Even in the category of like, well, it's just harmless entertainment. How do I think about it? So let's start the conversation here. How should we think? How does a Christian think about something that scripture doesn't explicitly forbid, like in a thou shalt not kind of way? How should we approach this conversation high level? Todd, how about like thinking of your book with the cannabis and the Christian?
Yeah.
Same principles.
How do you think biblically about something that's not in the Bible?
Yep.
Well, you have to think about the areas of life that the thing that's not in the Bible touch upon the things that are in the Bible. I don't know if that sentence made sense, but in my mind it did as I was saying it. What areas does the Bible cover that are touched by this thing that is not explicitly in the Bible? That would be a better way to say it, right? And so there's probably a lot. The Bible has a lot to say about money, and not just because finances are important, and that's kind of what makes the world go round, but because of the role that money plays in our own heart. It is the love of money that is the root of what many kinds of evil.
All sorts of evil.
Yeah. And, So certainly, finances would be one. There is a work ethic that is prescribed in the scriptures that would touch upon this as well. There is a lot about exploitation and taking that which does not belong to you off the backs of someone else. I think the Bible has much to say about that from a justice perspective. Mm-hmm. I think there's some overlap with justice on the whole gambling thing. Time is a treasure that we have, and what are you putting your time into? And by time, well, you know, so if you want to know what we value, it's what we put our treasure into, and the two treasures we have the most valuable treasure that we have is time and money.
Yeah.
And then another treasure that we have that we don't have a ton of is like emotion, perhaps.
Yeah. Great point.
What is it that is making my heart beat? What is it that's making my heart race? And I guess we would want to look at what the scriptures say about that. And I think the Bible has plenty to say.
Yeah, amen. I was thinking along the same lines and just kind of skimming the surface, but I wanted to read a few verses for us, which is kind of echoing in our ears to help our conversation. So two Proverbs. First, Proverbs 13:11 counsels us, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little makes it grow. Or Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound in blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So kind of proverbial wisdom of the Proverbs speaks into these things. And then what you just referred to, Todd, verses that we should all reflect on often, 1 Timothy 6:9-10, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So love of evil, not a small deal. And then lastly, in Hebrews 13, verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So God's sustaining grace, his presence, is better than many, many riches. So we're not to pursue love inordinately, money. Mm-hmm. So someone could say, yeah, amen, that's all well and good. Well, doesn't that inform and shape how we should think about gambling, would be my submission into the conversation. So if it's not a direct command, how do we connect the dots on those things to get from there to here? Thoughts?
I think people need to ask the question, who do bet is why? Like, what is your motivation behind it? If it is, well, I understand sports, I've done my research, I can make some quick money. Well, we just read some verses of, okay, be careful of that, you know? And, you know, what's the saying with not just Vegas, but like sports bettors, bookies in general, the house always wins. Like, there's a reason why these people are still in business.
Yes.
It's because they're not losing a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They know how to set the who's favored to win the Super Bowl. They know how to set that just right so that they can entice you to bet and that there's going to be a good chance that they're making money off of you. So, you know, if one of your reasons for betting is, well, I just think I can make money off of it, maybe you can also lose a lot of money off of it. And there's probably wiser ways to be thinking about your money. A high yield savings account you can get online for, you know, 4.25% interest or whatever. Just throw your money in that. It might be better. It may not damage the relationship with your family members or something. If you're doing it because, well, this makes the game more exciting for me, I don't, maybe there's a question there of like, what are you lacking in life that you, you have to like pour the hot sauce of excitement on everything that you do to make it a little more tasty and spicy for you? You know, like, I don't know what, how is that not enough for you? Oh, it's fun. Okay. Are there other avenues of fun that you could seek out that don't open the door to, you know, bad potential things happening? I mean, that's like the thing I've taken with, I decided not to drink at an early age because I felt I was going to be called to youth ministry, and it's not to bind anyone else's consciences on that. But I felt like, well, I want to be an example to students that you can make it through life without having alcohol. And also there's a lot of other things that taste really good that don't also lead to potential drunkenness. So, a milkshake and a Dr. Pepper get the job done for me.
Sounds delicious.
Hey, those could lead to gluttony or whatever too, but it's a little bit different than like where other things can take you. So anyways, just putting that category in with like betting is, if there's a potential for something that it could go wrong, what is your reasoning for opening yourself up to that? And if you don't even have a reason for why you're doing it, then I would say you probably should stop and figure that out first.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
How many times or were you ever tempted to be driven to drink being a Blazers fan, a Washington State Cougars fan, and a Raiders and Blazers fan?
That probably led to grabbing a bag of chips or Oreos or something more than anything.
Okay. Drowning your sorrows in a bag of chips. Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's awesome. Okay.
Tell you what, if I'd bet on those things and lost, it would have been worse for me. Maybe the temptation would have been there for me.
That's good. Yeah. And I think it's important. We have categories. Scripture is explicit in some commands, and that doesn't mean there's not implications in other things. You can take those principles, biblical principles, under God's common grace, and at least we should consider how to live wisely in ways that honor Jesus. And I think how we think about gambling on sports or not should be informed more by what the Bible says than what our culture has to say. Again, similar to our conversation in your book that you wrote, Todd, about cannabis and the Christian. I came across this, I don't think it was an article, kind of guy reflecting on, should a Christian bet on sports or not? And the Bible doesn't explicitly say it. There's also this principle of like, in God's moral universe and God's word, we just kind of know sometimes something's wrong. So like an example, I think this guy brought it up or got my mind spinning. Carrie and I have a Labradoodle. What if we invited some friends from GBC over to our house to watch a bunch of Labradoodles fight in our garage, like a dog fighting ring with Labradoodles? Wouldn't you know that's wrong?
Yeah, I wouldn't come to that.
You wouldn't come over, right? Yeah. But God's word doesn't say I can't fight Labradoodles.
Right.
So you kind of have, that sounds stupid, but you kind of have to make sure you're being thoughtful about why you're doing what you're doing. So I would submit.
Yeah. So there, I think there's plenty in God's word that would go against that. I think sure. what you're criticizing there would be just the person who very dismissively says, oh, fighting labradoodles is not explicitly mentioned in the Bible. In fact, I can't even find fighting and labradoodles in my concordance.
Totally.
And I have the ESV study Bible. So there, so I'm going to go do it. Like there's actually plenty in the Bible that should cause us to pause, but we don't need to actually look through the Bible. There is something in conscience and general revelation that says that just seems wrong. So anyway.
Yeah, good word. Yeah, we need to bring those things to bear on every area of our lives, including should a Christian bet on sports or not. So I think, I don't know, would you guys feel free to agree or disagree with
me. How big is your labradoodle though, before we go further with this?
I know. He's been through a huge training regimen. He's a killer.
Okay.
What are the odds you're giving me?
Okay, yes.
If people that know us know that our labradoodle chases cars and likes to bite tires, so he would not be good in what I just talked about. So how about this? Feel free to agree or disagree. Do you think gambling fits under the wisdom category for a Christian? To gamble or not? What would you say to that?
I think that for most people, yes. Or maybe for some, I don't know. Maybe I don't know the audience here. I think there is a for most people who are even at least starting, they're probably thinking, oh, it would be kind of fun to go to a casino. I'm going to blow $100 on dinner and a movie anyway. Why not just spend that $100 playing blackjack or something like that? And then I think I was going to spend $100 on entertainment. I spent $100 on entertainment. I wasn't trying to get rich. It was just kind of a fun time. I was with friends and at that point I think, you've made a wisdom choice. You've thought about things and you could actually say at the end of the day, Lord, I really had a good time. Thanks for my friends. I don't know what else you're thanking the Lord for at that point, but I suppose you could do that. That would be one thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I am too cheap, way too cheap to even bet a nickel on anything. But I can understand that sort of thing. And you've placed limits and it's what I was going to spend anyway. There you go. If you're in it to make money, though, then I think I think we're moving beyond wisdom a little bit to something where the scriptures say
yes.
It was couched in the wisdom literature, but there, it's pretty clear. This is not the path that a person should go on. You're walking the path of a fool.
Yep.
If this is your financial plan.
Yeah.
And because now we're also getting into that love of money sort of thing. And my love of money, my desire for a quick buck, is now causing me to do things that the scriptures say are very unwise. And we are now turning either to the left or to the right, but we're not staying on that path of wisdom anymore.
Good word. Yeah. And doesn't it do something to you as well? Like all of life does. If you were to chase money through the avenue of betting on sports, scripture says that's not a neutral thing. And that it does something to you and to your heart and how you see yourself and the world around you and other people and how you think about risk. Mm-hmm. Like if someone's betting on sports, at least from some people I've talked with and thinking about it and researching it, often there's the dopamine hit, right? Most people aren't like neutral emotionally when you bet. You do it because it does something for you.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, I've been honest all the time here.
Finally, we hit an honest Todd.
Yeah. To tell the truth.
It took 2.5 years and we're getting real Todd.
That's right. No, so at least according to most of the people I know who bet on sports, what they really love is that adrenaline hit.
Yeah, totally.
That I've got skin in this game. And so it's a kind of, sports is fun to watch because there's competition, but you're living vicariously through the players that you associate with, or, you know, there's, but But now if you've got money on the game, then it's not quite as vicarious almost, even though it totally depends on someone else, has nothing to do with your own actions, your own work ethic, nothing like that. You're betting on someone other than yourself at this point.
And, yes.
But you're still getting that competition. You're still getting that adrenaline rush, that dopamine hit, whatever it is. And I mean, we're a bunch of guys sitting around here. I know guys like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I love watching competition.
Yeah. Yeah. Why the three of us are big sports fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that if, again, going back to if we're adding something on top of something, like sports already can become an idol. And the three of us in this room have talked about, hey, we got to be careful of how much we love talking about sports when we come to the office together. And often a closing statement from Mike is, man, I love that we can talk about sports together. And it is nice. We don't let that consume our entire day. We're still getting stuff done in the office and things like that. But I have to be careful. I've pulled back of how I used to read every single article on Blazers Edge back in the day. It was like, why am I reading this? I'm watching the games already. But, you know, how I watch the games, when I watch the games, I wait till my daughter goes to sleep now so that I can focus on her till she goes to bed. Mm-hmm. We talked about this before we started recording, bringing fantasy sports into it has changed how we consume sports. Mm-hmm. Are we now just rooting for an individual statistic and sometimes even rooting against, like, I want
my
this
favorite
guy.
Team.
Yeah. I want this guy to do this well, but I still want my team to win or whatever. It's like, so we're even starting to distort the competition of that. And now when you add money on top of it and money that for some people, it's not just $5. It's way more. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear too many stories of fans yelling at players on the field of like, hey, I need you to get two more catches or make one more three, or you're going to kill my parlay and I'm going to lose $200. And it's like, I'm just trying to play a game here, man. Like what are you doing? And so it starts to,
isn't that one of the most popular segments on Scott Van Pelt, his bad beats?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Where like there's some play at the end of a game that just flips the way all the money was going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone was convinced they were going to win this bet, and then a punt return or whatever, or a blocked field goal, and all of a sudden you lose it. And there's no, as good as you think you are at following sports, there's just no guarantee of anything. And you're relying on other human beings, and can start to affect your attitude towards them of like, man, I hate that guy because he didn't get that. He needed two more yards and I would have another $10,000 in my pocket. Like, what are we doing with ourselves? If 2 yards in a game that we played in the backyard growing up is now affecting how you view a person's like identity and who they are, it's like, That in a wisdom category sort of way makes me think, okay, then maybe this isn't so wise. Going back to wisdom category of the example you said, so some people know I've done that. Growing up, my youth pastor had high school guys over to the house that we'd play poker. This was when poker was on the rise in the early 2000s, but it'd be like $2 buy-in to play poker. And we would play for like 2 or 3 hours. And it was a communal thing more than anything. It was, we could go to a movie.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Go to a movie and spend $10 on a ticket and, well, cheaper than them back then, $10 total for a ticket and snacks and not talk for 2 hours, or we could do this. And it was a way that we invited non-Christian friends to see, hey, we're actually not weird people, and they would start coming to youth group. I've done that since I've been a youth pastor with older guys, college students and older high school students. Again, it's never anything over like $2. And if there's parents that have concerns, and I've talked to some of them, like, I don't think this is right. And I'll hear them out. And for me, it's okay. It's been a good community thing to do that. And then someone walks home with $10 at the end of the night. Like, losing $2 is, you can't buy anything at McDonald's for $2 anymore, you know, like them stopping to buy food on the way to my house. So that's a wisdom thing though, of that I can see the side of, I guess you could be super black and white of, I shouldn't do that at all. Or anyone, you know, even guys, adult guys getting together to play Texas Hold'em for $5 or something like that. Yeah. There's some wisdom in that as well. But when it comes to sports betting, it's normally not even a communal thing. It's just you and your wallet is on the line with whatever's happening in the game. So it's starting to, get that love of money taken a different way. And then what is it about this money that's going to make your life better than
Yeah.
Just resting in who the Lord is, you know, we're starting to convince ourselves that this is what's going to improve my life. This is the security and the comfort I need, not the promises of God. And that's, we have lots of passages that would warn us against that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's really good. I appreciate you bringing that up. And I hope people that are listening to this know, as Gresham Bible Church, we're not wanting to be the type of church where we don't dance or play cards or hang out with people that do. That's not where we're coming from. We're not trying to draw lines where scripture doesn't lie, draw lines. Just trying to apply God's good and beautiful truth to our world. And right now that includes sports gambling. And I love, Jordan, how you brought up, like, most people, it seems, that bet it does something for you. And I think it's true, when something does something for you, it's also doing something to you. And you talked about, like, what'd you say, the spicy sauce for your soul. The sriracha for your soul. If that's sports gambling, then it should make you look in the mirror a little bit about what, well, why is that? Okay, let's continue the conversation. I can hear it in my mind. Someone could say, yes, agree with you all the way. Is there such a thing for responsible betting on sports? It's legal. Someone creates their own limits. Maybe some people can make money on it. So I'd like us to think about it quickly, like a paradigm or lens to view it through is one of wise risk and unwise risk. Life under the sun includes risk. We're to be people of wisdom. So how do we think about sports betting in terms of risk? Like, what's the difference between someone who goes out and gets a business loan and starts their own small family business and someone that bets on sports? Those are both risky in some kind of ways. Are they different? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I'm just thinking, maybe this isn't the right way to think of it, but, you know, a business that you're putting together, you are putting the work into, and work is a good thing in the Bible.
We're lauded in the Bible.
Yes. Yeah. We're supposed to, right?
Yep.
And Proverbs. So, yeah, I mean, look, we can become workaholics. Anything can start to become an idol and take us away from things, but working for something is good. You are doing the work, I guess, to research, but there are just so many mitigating factors that could change whatever research you've done. And it's not, you're relying on the work of others. And you mentioned at the beginning of passages in the Bible of wisdom category that it talks about stuff of like making money off of the work and labor of others and stuff like that. Not that this is like turning into slavery or anything like that, but I don't, I feel like there is something different to that of you're putting your hopes in some guy scoring a touchdown, as opposed to, okay, business didn't go as well this week. How can I make adjustments to do things differently? It just seems like a completely different type of risk you're taking.
Yeah, I think it does too. And maybe it's a biased thought experiment, but I think it does draw out for the Christian who starts his or her own business. Wouldn't you do it with fair prices? You'd be bringing a good or service into the marketplace in some way to contribute to the world, to love your neighbor.
That's good.
So it's not just about you.
Yeah.
It's about others. Whereas sports betting, no matter what someone does or doesn't do with, if they make money off of it, it's inherently selfish. It's just you and the bet, not how it's loving your neighbor or not.
That's a good way to put that. Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
So if we could agree that sports betting does something to us and to our neighbor by either not loving our neighbors or just inherently what sports betting is, I think those give us some categories. Again, at minimum, it's under the wisdom category to think about, is this good and wise for me to gamble on sports? One other thing, sorry, I feel like I'm just doing all the talking. I've had to think about this. I think, and I'd love to talk about it real quick as Christian sports fans, doesn't betting on sports actually corrupt sport itself in some kind of way, right? Like the thing that you and I, all three of us here, yes, it could become idolatry, but you can love sport for the sake of sport, to the glory of God. We could talk about that for a long time. When you bet on it, and by it being legal, it's starting to corrupt sport itself. Like, think of all the headlines we've heard even over the last year of athletes being tempted, threatened into compromising their athletic integrity for the sake of some sports betting interest. Isn't that starting to impact like the core of sport itself?
Yeah.
I mean, if I like sports, I shouldn't like sports betting then if it's ruining the thing that I love.
Yeah. It makes a difference of, again, how it's being advertised and what's being talked about. There's players who have been banned. Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame because he bet on sports as a manager. Supposedly he wasn't betting on his own team. Okay, hopefully he wasn't. You know, Shohei Ohtani's translator is going to go to jail for stealing money from Ohtani because he was addicted to gambling. And Tim Donaghy, who was a referee in the NBA, was betting on games that he – or had friends betting on games that he was reffing. And so there's, a cloud over all of the NBA of every time your team is getting, quote-unquote, cheated on bad calls. It's, well, you got money on this game or whatever. Like, so, yeah, it starts to make us not even enjoy – seeing people at their prime athletic abilities playing what overall is a silly fun game when you really think about these games, and it's taking away from that and starts to affect our moods and attitudes and things of what's happening and watching it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, why are professional sports leagues so vigilant, or do they say they're so vigilant about, about no gambling within our ranks? Because what people enjoy and what they need to know is that this is a legit competition.
Yes.
And if it's a legitimate competition, then people enjoy it.
Yes.
And the NBA knows, and Major League Baseball knows, and the NFL knows, is that if there's corruption, and the place where that corruption is going to come is like, where's is going to be like, follow the money, and it's gambling. Then they know that could ruin sports. So I think the answer to your question, it's an obvious yes.
Yeah.
At the same time, the NFL and the NBA and the MLB, they do profit off of sports gambling because it makes people want to watch even more because they've got something running on it, riding on it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that they're just pristine, but I mean, they want us to believe that what we're seeing is pure competition.
Yes.
And that's what appeals to me when I watch sports. I love watching competition and I love watching people battle it out to try to win. But if the fix is on, then it would make me angry.
Oh, man.
I would want nothing to do with it from that point on.
Completely with you.
Yeah, it does make me wonder. This is just me, and I could be way off. I probably will be. But as a sports fan, I wonder if the love of money at a corporate level of sports leagues, because it's a lot of money that gambling is infusing into these sports, if in the long run it'll actually undermine the thing that we love. Like, will it be good playing the long game? And then that makes me wonder, as a Christian, well, if I'm a Christian sports fan and I think that sports gambling, sports betting will actually hurt sports, then is it best and wise that I participate in a system that may hurt the thing that I'm enjoying? So I don't know. It's probably overthinking it. I think it's an element of it for sure. A few more quick questions for us to bounce around, just trying to give people, maybe people have thought about this before, maybe they haven't, maybe someone's like, that's the dumbest idea for a podcast episode I've ever heard, but let's talk about it. It's in front of all of us. So let's talk about it.
They turned it off a long time ago.
They didn't even want to listen anyway. Right. Sports gambling. What is happening here?
Yeah. We're going to assume that everybody who's listening to this point is all in.
Yes. And they're looking for our best bets on the Super Bowl game or something. What do you guys get to that? What are your over unders? So let's
we won't release this episode until after the Super Bowl.
I thought about that. Yeah. Take the over or the under. So let's do a quick thought experiment for the sake of discussion to kind of land some of this stuff. So let's say you took a small percentage of your money, even a percentage of your money that wasn't risking anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. A small percentage of your money, you gambled it on sports responsibly. And that you did that in no way that you or anyone else could see was negatively impacting your soul, how you see money, how you see yourself or the world around you. Maybe you even made a small amount of money off of your bet And maybe you even served some people by giving that money away. Like, let's just say it was all as positive as could happen, right? But the sports gambling companies, maybe you're the small percentage that make the money. The reason they're even in existence is because they are taking money from lots of other people.
Yeah.
So therefore, even if you're in the small percentage that can make money, do it responsibly, and even use that money to give away to help people, you're doing it off the backs of people who are losing money on gambling. Yeah. Do you think that's a safe way to think about it?
I think that's true.
Okay. Okay. So then for the Christian, if I'm to love my neighbor as myself, can I inherently love my neighbors who gamble by me gambling? Is that pushing the envelope too far? Is that a fair question to ask? I'm not trying to lead the jury.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think that's a fair exercise. Okay. I think you could start to get into some weaker brother stuff in Romans of, you know, yeah, I'm the one person that sports betting doesn't affect. But I mean, let's say it was you, Mike, as our lead pastor, that, hey, Mike is making an extra 50 grand a year, which is going towards the building fund off of sports betting. But maybe by your example, there are 10 other guys in our church that are like, well, if Pastor Mike can do it and he's getting money to the church, well, maybe I can help too. And then if they each lose even just $5,000, it's like, well, how does that impact them? So, you know, for the sake of the weaker brother, maybe we don't do that. I mean, I think that goes with anything that we enjoy in life too. We need to be mindful of different people have different personality, different reactions to things. You know, with my love of movies, I'm careful about not only movies I watch, but what I recommend to certain people. Certainly not going to watch certain movies with certain people because I know that we're different in those categories and I don't want to do anything that could potentially hurt or lead someone else astray. And maybe there's times where I'm not being as loving to my neighbors I should be in some of the things that I enjoy, whether it's movies or something, or even my love of sports or whatever. So if the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, are we being fully mindful and considerate of that in something that has wrecked and hurt a lot of people's lives?
Yeah, because it feels benign, or it's presented to us as benign in advertising. I just download an app, I get some free money and bet on it. And it's almost like this faceless entity is giving me money.
Right.
But it's preying on other people betting, those that aren't making the money, and those are my neighbors. And so I'm kind of taken out of their pocket to fill my pocket. That's not benign.
There's more people losing money than making money on sports betting.
Yeah, otherwise Vegas wouldn't be around.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nor cheap buffets that maybe I should never eat at those buffets anymore either. I don't know. Open to feedback. Yeah. Okay. There's so much to it. I just want to kind of land the plane a little bit. Is sports gambling a wisdom issue? And or does it push into potentially an area of sin? How would you think about that? How would you encourage other people to consider that? We've kind of nibbled around that a little bit.
Well, let me give just my own personal convictions on it for how I lead my life. And this is not, I'm not meaning to impose these on others. Maybe this speaks to the person who loves sports, doesn't bet a lot of money, it just kind of enjoys that little extra sauce. Okay. For someone like me, one of the reasons why I don't bet, even though I love the competition, and that definitely ups the ante, literally, right, for it. And so I could find myself doing that, and I could see myself liking that and enjoying it. And my concern is that I would actually like it way too much.
Same.
And just the competition aspect that I enjoy so much is enough for me to even make bad choices, let alone if I had money riding on it.
Yeah.
And for me, if I were doing this, I would, so like, let's say that I was betting on some NBA games or, you know, prop bets or something like that. I would not be able to place that bet and then wake up the next morning to see if the night before went the way I hoped it would, I would be on my phone checking all the time.
Yeah.
And that would be very dishonoring to my family. It would be very dishonoring to my wife. I don't need, I'll start that sentence over again. This is what would concern me. One of the reasons, as we've said, and I'm repeating myself at this point to say, one of the reasons I love watching competition is because there's something vicarious, and I love that adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. I love that dopamine hit that comes, and you can't survive on adrenaline, right?
That's true.
At some point, you pay the piper for it. And the Christian life is not driven by adrenaline. It is, to quote a non-Christian, it is a long journey in the same direction. That was kind of a paraphrase of Nietzsche. But and if I'm always looking for that adrenaline rush, then the church is going to suffer in comparison. Mm-hmm. And the Christian life is going to suffer in comparison. And maybe I'm the only person who doesn't get a great dopamine hit or a great adrenaline rush from my daily quiet time. Mm-hmm. But I suspect I'm not.
I second the motion.
I do my quiet time, and then I'm just ripping off 350 pounds on the bench
that's
press.
Right.
Yeah, let's
that's
go.
Right. Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? I'm the only one. Yeah. And I think that's the way the Lord designed it, right? That this is faith, and it's not about bells and whistles, and it's not about dopamine. It's about being convinced that the Lord is good, and I'm going to follow Him no matter what. So I would wonder about the place that we are putting sports gambling in our life, and inevitably the things that don't provide that dopamine hit are going to suffer in comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's like being a dad. That's like being a husband.
Yeah.
It's like being a good employee. So for me, that would be the concern that I would have for my own self. And obviously I would have it for others because here I am sharing it.
Sure.
But you take from that what you want.
Yeah.
That's a good word, Todd. That's a really good word. I guess is my own thought. I would say that sports betting is at minimum unwise for the Christian. And I would say it could even be sinful for a myriad of reasons. And some of those, like you're saying, brother, are knowing our own hearts. And I heard it said before that sports betting distorts our view of risk and dulls our capacity for true and lasting joy. So when you think about it as...
Yeah, I should have said that.
No, I mean, it's the truth.
That's kind of what I was getting at. But yeah, that's really good.
It is. Like, what am I supposed to find joy in? Yeah. Yeah,
I never say in 10 words what I can say in 100.
No, me neither. That's why I had to write it down.
That's why you're both a professor and pastor.
Yes, brother. So I guess I'm hoping this episode promotes real discussion in the life of our church. Like if people have questions, push back. Mike, Todd, Jordan, I totally disagree with you, and here's why. Like, man, let's hang out and work it through with our Bibles open, with tons of humility, because these are important things. So overall, if it sounds like the consensus is here, it as a wisdom category, it's unwise at minimum, moving into sometimes often sinful, it'd be best for the Christian to avoid it. And I'll read here and we close in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us for the Christian, right? Just because something is lawful for me doesn't mean it's beneficial. Mm-hmm. And so technically it's lawful here in Oregon that I can bet on sports. Yeah. Is that beneficial for my soul and the soul of others? Is it worth the risk of a short financial dopamine hit, short financial gain for the fleeting excitement of winning a bet? And I think everyone would have to agree, betting, gambling on sports, it touches into and is directly connected with stewardship stuff. So yeah. If I want to be a good steward, how can I do that if I'm gambling on sports? And then especially like what we talked about earlier, if it has issues or concerns for myself and for my neighbor, well, God's word is really clear. God cares about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, ugh, should just give us pause. Thought I'd read two short passages before we close, just so God's word is kind of echoing in our ears on this. So it's not just us three riffing on, no one will ever want to talk to us about sports again. And we're like, oh, those are the three killjoys at UBC. But just hear this in relation to, should a Christian bet on sports? 1 Corinthians 10, I'll just read a few verses, 23, 24, and then to close the chapter, 31 through 33. This is God's word. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Then 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So some quick questions to consider from that passage about betting on sports. Can you bet on sports for the good of your neighbor, not seeking your own advantage that many may be saved? And all that the Christian does is to be done for the glory of God. So bottom line it, can you bet on sports to the glory of God? And then Proverbs, again, a lot of this wisdom category stuff. Proverbs gives us a warning and a charge for all of us to walk the path of wisdom, the path that's life-giving and joy-filled as a Christian. And this charge is for all of our lives. Proverbs 4:23, hope people have memorized it. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So what path does sports betting invite you down? I would offer it's probably a path that's more towards some self-destruction and maybe even destructive towards others. So it's probably a path that we should avoid. And it's a path that would kind of like reshape, like we've talked about, like how we see ourselves, where we find our joy, how we see other people, even how we see something the three of us enjoy, which is sport. So if it's something that does something to us and it's not altogether good, I just wonder like, what's the why? Yeah. Any closing thoughts, anything you'd want to add or subtract to that?
Just one other thought I had.
Besides your hot picks for the week.
Yeah. I hope the Eagles win. We'll know this after the fact. Yes. When you hear this. Todd had mentioned that, you know, like the things that we can treasure up is our time and our money and maybe our emotions to some extent. We were talking about this before the episode of, I was just thinking of like how much my emotions can roller coaster ride based on a Blazers win or loss. and it used to be much worse than it was. I mean, I don't get mad, but I just would, if the Blazers lost, I'd almost be like dull and sullen and depressive. And that might be because I struggle with depression anyways, that Taylor would know like, okay, I just need to pat Jordan on the back and say, hey, I love you. It's going to be okay. And it might take me a day or two to recover from a bad Blazer loss, or I'd be like super stoked after they won. And it's like, so if my emotions are riding that roller coaster just off of a team that I love, if I have money involved too, how is that affecting your attitude, your demeanor, your joy, your grief, your sorrow in how you interact with people around you? That if it's a big bet, I mean, that could affect you for days, weeks, months, years, depending on what you do, that like you almost become a different person because of this choice that you made. That just doesn't seem worth it to open that type of door of changing who you are. And you know, what is actually bringing us joy in life? I hope it's not the money we win on sports. I hope the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, like let's put our hope in things that actually have eternal, imperishable impact.
Yes.
Not the fleeting things of this world that come and go.
Amen. As a Christian, I would pray we should be the most joyful of all people and enjoy God's good world because we know the one who created it and his goodness. So by no means are we saying like, man, Christians should be the saddest of people and not do things that you find joy, but not everything in this world that maybe we find a little taste of joy is actually good for us. So yeah, just a quick question, making for a long podcast. When Taylor would counsel you like that, did she quote Rasheed Wallace and be like, both teams played hard, Jordan?
No, I don't think she knows that quote. The game that when we had Nurkic his first season that he broke his leg right before the playoffs started, I didn't watch that game until much later because like we had youth group that night. And my mom had texted Taylor in advance saying, hey, this is going to happen in the fourth quarter. Jordan's dad and I are worried about him. Can you check on him? And so I was watching the game by myself and she came and sat by me in the fourth quarter. I was like, oh, hey. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll watch the end of the game with you. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That's so sweet. Man. And then when he broke his leg, I was like, this isn't happening. This isn't happening. And she's like, are you okay?
That's amazing.
And she told me after your mom texted, I want to make sure I'm like, I mean, like, I'm not okay right now. Overall, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be okay. But yeah, that's
a preemptive wellness check by your wife.
I love the Blazers. All they do is break my heart. So I don't want to bet. If I were to bet, I'd bet against the Blazers. Maybe I could buy us a building.
That's right.
Fair. Okay. That's a good way to land the episode.
That's awesome. All right. Guys, thanks for having this discussion. As always, I hope this podcast actually facilitates, encourages, cultivates real, helpful, life-giving conversations in the life of our church. So honestly, you heard us say it earlier. If you want to talk about this, man, we'd welcome it. I hope it is a platform, a springboard for people to think about, should a Christian bet on sports? What does that look like with the Bible helping inform our thought process? So, all right, Crescent Bible Church, love you. Until next time, thanks.
Rip City.